grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word tonight is I read for you just a moment ago, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 2, and then verse 9, our Lord Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and we continue our series on the Beatitudes, where our Lord Jesus says, "Blessed are you." But tonight's lesson, seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the peacemakers, the doers of peace, for they will be called the sons of God." Now, a little later in Matthew chapter 5, our Lord elaborates on that. He says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven." You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Where'd that one come from? Where did that come from? I mean, who thought that up? Actually, it's a little confusing because it sort of sounds like a Bible verse, but I honestly can't think of a Bible verse that really says that. If you can come up with one, let me know. All we know from tonight's gospel is that the Lord says, well, it was said somewhere by somebody, apparently someone who was an authority on the topic, and apparently they said, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." Well, look no further. The authority on such matters is sitting with us in the room tonight. They are here tonight, and you can see that authority here tonight. Not only that, you can see that authority in your home, and you can see that authority especially when you get up in the morning and you stand in front of the mirror. Who thought that one up? You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Who came up with that one? You did. And I did. We didn't need a book to tell us that. We didn't need a Bible to tell us that. That's something that arises in the human heart. It just comes from inside of us as sinful people. It's the religion of the human heart. And honestly, that's all the better you can do. You can't do any better than that. You can't rise yourself above that. Now, you can love your own. You can love those who are good to you. But any of the rest of the people out there, they better wash their steps. They better be careful. You know, it's amazing how many people think like that. Everybody does. But how many people think like that and think that with that sort of thinking, you get into heaven? But that's just fine. That's no problem. That's just the way I am. That's just how I think. Just the way I am. Recently, I went to the orthopedic doctor for a treatment for some bursitis. And I was waiting in the exam room for the doctor to come, and I had plenty of time to look around me at all the things that were in there. And one of the things that was in the exam room was a poster, a framed poster on the wall. And you know how those are when you go to the doctor's office. They got a big poster up there about some different medical condition. Well, this one was all the different ways you can mess up your shoulder. And all the different ways your shoulder can get messed up with age. Interesting topic. And of course, there's all the complicated medical terms to describe all these different things that you can do to yourself. It's a poster right there that tells you how a messed up shoulder looks.
Well, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. There's a poster for that disease. It's a very obvious one. It's a very well-known one. It's one that you see, or nowadays, pretty much see every single day. If you turn on the television, you listen to the radio, you get onto the internet, you can see the final stages of that disease on every news program. And what is it? You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. And of course, that's the creed of the Middle East. That's been going on there for thousands of years, again and again and again. You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.
Of course, thank God, we live in America. We don't do such things, do we? This is a democracy.
We have our freedoms. We have our culture based on the Enlightenment. This is not who we are.
You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.
Well, if you are a child of Adam and Eve, you love your neighbor and hate your enemy. It's what arises from the human heart. St. Paul had to say something similar to one of his helpers, Book of Titus, written to Titus, a helper of St. Paul, and Titus was sent with a mission. He was to go to the island of Crete in the Mediterranean Sea and to encourage the small young congregations that had gotten started there. And St. Paul in the book of Titus said to him, you know, it's not going to be easy work. This is going to be a tough row to hoe. And then he says this, Titus chapter 1, he says, one of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. They are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. End of sentence. Would you want to get sent there? Would you want to go there? Do the good Lord's work? Well, Titus was sent. And Titus went. Why? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called the sons of God. Well, you see that in the commission that he was given, Titus chapter 3. Remind them, St. Paul said, these Cretan Christians, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities. Remind them to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, to show perfect courtesy toward all people.
And now watch what he says.
St. Paul says, For we ourselves,
that is a revolutionary statement that he makes, because before he became a Christian, before he had the Holy Spirit, before he knew his own sin, he would have said, you know the problem with this world? It's that one over there, and this person over here, and this person over here, and this person over here, and the Middle East over there, and this person over like that.
That's what he would have said. But he says now, as a Christian, shown his sin, having the Holy Spirit, he says, for we ourselves were once foolish. We were disobedient. We were led astray. We were slaves to various passions and pleasures. We passed our days in malice and envy. We hated other people and they hated us.
And of course, you know the truth of the human heart. You shall love your neighbor, but what?
Hate your enemy. It's right there.
But thankfully, that's not where it stops. He goes on.
But when the goodness and the loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration, the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
You see, nowhere you go,
whether it's Crete or the Middle East or Medford, Oregon or the United States, no matter where you go, you're not going to escape the human heart. It is out there. It's at work. And yet, our Lord Jesus was sent, and our Lord Jesus still went. Blessed are the peacemakers. He was the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior that appeared, saving you not because of your works done in righteousness, because there are no such things. Don't pat yourself on the back. They don't exist, not things that stand before God. No, he saved us by his mercy. He saved us through our baptism, the washing of regeneration and renewal. The Lord gave you the Holy Spirit. He gave you a changed heart toward him. He gave you a changed heart toward the people around you. And by his grace, he gave you hope. Something to aim your life toward. The hope of everlasting life. But going to Crete was no picnic. And going to the Middle East is no picnic. And going to America is no picnic. But try going to the whole world. Tonight's lesson, Isaiah 53. What happened to him? He was sent and he went. But he was despised. He was rejected by men. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. As one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. And that's the message tonight. It's always the Christian message, but tonight especially, the night when our Lord Jesus instituted the sacrament of Holy Communion, his true body and blood. And we are told there, taking that true body and blood, that the chastisement that brought us peace is here, and by his wounds we are healed. And as you come forward to Holy Communion and you receive the body and blood of Christ, as you go forward, hear the words of Romans 5. For if, while we were enemies of God, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life? This is my body, this is my blood, given and shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins. But as you go back to where you sit down and you go out the door and ultimately out into the world, that Holy Communion has a message for you too. It says, now, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons and daughters of your Father who is in heaven, because he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends his rain on the just and on the unjust. And as you go out, hear the words. 1 Corinthians 14, brethren, don't be children in your thinking. Yet in evil be babies, but in your thinking be mature. And as you go out, hear the words. Ephesians chapter 4, therefore, walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, putting up with one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And as you go out, you hear the words. Romans chapter 14. Let us then pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. I mean, if the Lord put up with you, you can't for a little bit put up with somebody else? For a little bit, forgive and pardon what's been done to you. Forget about it. Don't worry about it. Leave it in God's hand. Maybe that can happen by the working of the Holy Spirit, by God's message of salvation given to you. And what does he say? Your sins are forgiven now. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the doers of peace, for they will be called the sons of God.
And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.